For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another week's helping of the good, the bad, and the ugly in the world of non-league. I'll let you decide which of those my co-host falls into. You can hear him in the background, and I'm pleased to say I'm joined here in the studio by the ever insightful Mr. Dave Anderson. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon. I am the ugly part. I have no problem with that, believe me.
Everybody keeps radio, it.
Yeah. We both have. Don't worry about that. You know,
I'm a bit concerned about all this modern day radio where they have webcams.
So a busy old week.
Just chatting there, I think we spoke at the end of last week's show about Northwood looking for a new manager, and they've got a replacement in a man you know very, very well.
Yeah, I actually went to the game Saturday because they played Chertsey. I'd spoke to Ian Barry, the Northwood chairman, a couple of times during the week about the job. Not my business, but he would just talk. And Robert Ursel, who played for me at AFC Wimbledon, who was commonly known as the Wizard because he is a circus act with a ball, went on to play futsal for England and manage it, and has got futsal schools and stuff like that. And very good. And he is, me and him's chalk and cheese. I always remember he used to travel with me to Wimbledon, and we'd argue all the way in about football because he's really opinionated. He's a bit like me, and knows his stuff and is good. And then we'd argue all the way back. But he's total football, loves his football, loves, very good with it. And I think it's a brave decision in some aspects for Ian Barry to give someone like Rob a job who effectively hasn't managed in non-league, has managed futsal at international level. But so I think it's brave, but I also think it's astute. Is that the right word? Because I think he's been very clever to give him a go, because I think he'll be a success. He's got a great knowledge of players. He's got a great way about him. He's completely off the wall, and if you know him, you know that. I'm going to give him a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to go and see them, because he said to me, they won't be playing anything like any side you've ever set up, because he played under me for 2 years at Wimbledon. So I wish them well, and I think that chairmen who are brave and give young managers like Rob a chance deserve a bit of luck, and I think he's made a good decision. I really do.
Yeah, it sounds like he's knowing the way that he plays, he'll want to play football, and that Northwood pitch, not always renowned for the
wasn't that bad Saturday. It was a bit heavy in the middle. We've had a lot of rain, haven't we? But my thing I was saying to Rob, I spoke to him since he's got the job, was be careful of trying to be Real Madrid when you're bottom of the league. You need to get some results. But he's aware of all that stuff. I think he's got a good knowledge of players, and we've heard it time and time again in the Gaffer Tapes interviews. Recruitment comes up all the time, how important it is, and I think that Rob's got a real good knowledge of players and lots of contacts of managers around him at higher level. Who he knows, he's played with Dean Brennan at Wimbledon, he knows Gary Meakin, Steve Baker, Gary McCann. I'm just thinking all the people directly around him, he knows them. That never hurts you.
Yeah, and obviously he knows the club as well, as a player
played
at Northwood
as well.
Played
for me at Northwood as well.
Is that always a good thing, if a player knows what the club's about? Or
I think it helps if you know each other, because you have an idea of if you can have a relationship with the people involved. Obviously, the dimensions change. You know, when you go in there as a player and you know the chairman and you know the people who the manager has to deal with at board level, that's different. When you become the manager and you go and see the chairman, it's different than going to see him as a player, believe me. But I think you can establish whether you can have a relationship, and you know, and I think it helps that way. I don't think he's certainly not one of the Northwood greats. He's not someone like the Jell brothers, you know, Chris and Richard Jell, or I'm thinking of Northwood players through the years who have done unbelievable. So he's not up in the Hall of Fame. Mm. So I think sometimes when you go back and you're like one of the top old players, you can sour your relationship if it doesn't go right. I don't think Rob falls into that bracket. I think he's someone who's known, but not sort of Hall of Famer at Northwood. So I think it stands a chance. But like everything, you have to win football matches. And the one thing he doesn't suffer was confidence. I think he's that's why I enjoy his company. But I would say to people, keep your eye out, because if he gets it right and he does something along the lines that I think he might do, you could be looking at the next new young manager that could go on to something better.
No pressure on him. What about you as an experienced manager? We're going to talk about the last 16 in the trophy and the VARs. You've got someone like Rob that's come through your schooling as a player, now going into management. Are you missing it this time of year?
No. No, I tell you what I found. I was stunned when I realised it's the last 16 of the VARs, because like a year ago we were going to Earlham in Manchester, and I can't believe it's a year ago. I really can't. So all those what you tend to do when you look back in situations like that is remember what it was like after the game, on the train back, having a sing song, a few beers. But I try and remember how I felt going to the game, which is quite nervous, you know. So, no, I don't miss it, Tim. I'm very fortunate with this show that it keeps me involved, and I'm very fortunate that a lot of my ex-players are now managing, and I can go and watch them, and they're always pleased to see me, which is a nice thing, or they pretend to be.
They just smile,
you know. So you get to see football, you get to be a little bit more on the inside than the normal fan, so you get to find out what's going on in the dressing room and that stuff. So that's good. That's a good enough fix for me at the minute, I believe. Or say the minute. No. That's good enough fix for me, full stop.
And that side of it now that you're seeing from that other side of the other side of the fence, really, as it is, do you maybe look back when you were a manager that maybe you wished you'd had somebody the other side of the fence that was in your ear telling you what was going on?
Yeah, I think we all do. I think we all... but then you have to be what you are. You know, I keep thinking the year and a half I had at Chertsey seemed to be a combination of everything I did good in the game. It just all seemed to fall into place. And you can be foolishly think to yourself, well, I could have been like that for a long time. But you have to have the experiences that you have to get you to that part of the mountain. So I would say to young managers, and I said to Rob Ursel during the week, you know, try and keep a calmness about you. Try and, you know, keep detached from it emotionally. But it's very, very difficult. I couldn't do it. And if I went back tomorrow, I still couldn't do it, you know. But it's someone said to me once a long time ago, be who you are. Don't try and be someone else. Just be who you are. And if you need to change, then change. Change yourself, but make it you. Don't act someone else. Address it and make yourself better at it. But be who you are, because if you're going to feel, you might as well feel it being you.
So let's begin the week then with the FA Trophy. Non-League Finals Day is fast approaching, with the last 16 taking part in this weekend's third round of the trophy. Plenty of big-name clubs left in the competition, but we love an underdog on this show. So let's focus on a Step 4 club who this weekend entertain a Step 2 club who, without a manager, despite pushing for the playoffs in the National South. It's the Step 4 club in question. Are Aveley. They have playoff contenders themselves in the Isthmian Division 1 North with an eye on automatic promotion too, I'm sure. But it is the FA Trophy weekend, and to tell us how he's preparing his side, let's speak to Aveley manager and welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Keith Rowlands.
How are you doing, Sammy? All right?
I'm good. Now, let's start. It's a great season for the club so far already, but this is a real winnable tie, this one, particularly with the home advantage you've got.
I'll be honest with you, when we found out it's a one-off game, it does narrow it down, you know, but we're well aware of Chelmsford as a football club and how big they are, and we show them utmost respect, but of course you go into every game, we'll go into it like no other game, like every other game we've played in the tournament, try and win it.
And now you joined the club at the end of August. Did you sense then that the club had this potential to go this far in the trophy?
No, to be honest with you, perfectly honest with you. I took the club over in the week that they got knocked out of the FA Cup in the first round, and there was a real low around the place, you know, and I felt it was my job to get them lifted. And then the trophy came along really, really quickly. And we were away to East Grinstead. And I felt more pressure in that game than I have in the whole games after that, because I really wanted to win one game for them in the trophy. And then we just went on a roll, and we took on all contenders, really. To be honest, Chelmsford is the half team we've played so far, because we've pulled teams in the league above, and teams doing really well in the leagues above, and we've been brilliant, you know, from the off. We've been really good in the trophy, and it's really brought a confidence to the football club.
Yeah, to be fair, Keith, first of all, great to speak to you, you know, man from God's country like myself. But there's two things that come to mind here. One is the home tie. I think that's big when you're the lower ranked club. It's nice to have them at your place, because that makes you feel as if you're comfortable surroundings. And two is, which I'm not so sure about, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing that they've lost Rod, who's no stranger to me or you, but Rod Stringer's left the club this week. It doesn't say sacked or off his own court or whatever it is. But how do you see that, good or bad?
I can't really call it, to be honest with you. I know Rod from my dad's working with him at Averley and Braintree, and I know his teams are always competitive. So the same group of players are there. They haven't really added anything since Rod has left the club. So it's the same group. Whether there's a different philosophy coming into the club, and obviously regardless of whatever, they're going into the game against us with no manager.
Yeah.
So whatever they're, that's to do with Chelmsford, really. At the end of the day, it's not for me to say anything in that sense, but at the end of the day, we're just going to go into the game. We've seen them play in the last, we've watched them now twice since last week. So we're really looking forward to it. And you're right, Davey, we've been drawn away pretty much the whole of the draws. I think we've had replays at home, but I think since Bowers and Pitsy, this is our first draw at home, and we're looking forward to it, you know, really looking forward to it. Regardless of Chelmsford's dilemma or circumstances they're in, if there's an opportunity to find a weakness in that, we'll do our best.
And just, you know, I understand that you don't want to comment on Chelmsford because it's out of your hands, and it's none of your business, I suppose, that's what I would be saying. But let's talk about your business. Let's talk about, so you came in August. Did you inherit the team really, or have you brought most of your own guys in? How's the setup at the club since you walked in the door?
No, I came in the club and there was a good squad there. Like I said, I thought there was a bit of a low ebb at the club. I don't know what went on before me, but again, it was what went on before me was history. So I just went for it. I brought an assistant manager with me, and he left after 2 weeks. So I brought the two boys up from the 23s, and it's just the three of us and a goalkeeper coach. I don't like too many people around me. I like to be just the voice in the changing room. I like the two boys to put input in, but it comes to, I found this with working with Dev, Alan Devonshire, for 4 years at Braintree. We always used to speak about this, and Dev always used to say to me, it's my job to pick a team with me because I'm the manager. You know, I'll always listen to other people. So there's not a big group of players either. I only brought in about three or four. I didn't bring a lot into the club. A few left, but the majority of the group have been there since I've been there, and we haven't used a lot of players, touch wood, and they've really stepped up. I changed the system a little bit without giving too much away. I felt that I had a great striker in Alex O'Croffey. I brought George Sykes in, two proven players at that level. And I played with two up top. I went back to playing two up top, and I moved Jason Rad, he's a terrific little player from South Africa, I moved him into midfield in a little deeper position, and it's really took off for the club. You know, we've scored a really unbelievable amount of goals. I think I was saying this the other day. I when I came into non-league football and came across you a few times, Davey, always worked with teams that were clean sheets and hard to beat, and now I've got a group that can score goals, you know, from a lot of positions, and there's a little bit of a consequence to that because they're so forward-thinking. We We do concede the odd one or two, but we're scoring more than we're conceding. So, in football terms, we're winning a lot of games.
Yeah, and I think it's more modern football as well. I think it's, you know, I found it in the last stint I had at Chertsey that, and I think age helps as well, Keith. I think as you get older, you get a little bit more, well, one, you're more experienced, two, you get a little bit more, not confident and arrogant, but it is a bit of that where you think, I don't care, I'm going to have a go at this because it's not life-changing. But I think today's football lends itself to forward play now, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah. We've got a 4G pitch at our place. That's all geared towards quick football, sharp, on the deck, passing it through teams, you know. Yeah. We try and work that as much as we can. But like I said, David, we've been about the game a long time now. The game has changed. The attitude of the players has changed. For me, sometimes not for the better. we believe in old school methods the old time, you know. You have to have lads who stand up to it, regardless what area you're in.
I think harder to find now, Keith, aren't it?
It's harder to find. It is, David. To be honest with you, I had eight months with it. I got a new hip and I looked at it and I thought when I came back into it, I wanted to go into a football club that I would really enjoy.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, it's not a million miles away around the corner. When I was at Wingate, the travelling got me down a little bit in the end. Travelling from Esk to Wingate, you know, and it's a great opportunity for me. And the club bought into what I was offering them. And I was offering them relatively not bad success as a second time manager, but I found myself more enjoying it this time round because I thought, why not?
Yeah.
Because again, like we mean, you know, Dave, it's not life changing for us, but it's important.
Oh yeah, yeah. You've prayed in who you are and what you are. Absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely, and if it didn't hurt you, if it wasn't hard work for you, and at the end of the day, if you didn't enjoy it while the results were going your way, you shouldn't be in it.
Well, that's why I'm not. But you're absolutely, absolutely spot on. I know Tim wants to get back in, really, because I'm hogging the interview, but you're absolutely, it's a great point, to be fair. Great point. Sorry, Tim.
No, I was going to say about enjoying the football. It helps that you've got great facilities there, haven't you? And great people as well. Obviously, I know the chief exec, Craig, quite well. His wife, Lynn, as well. They're working hard to put the club on the map locally and beyond. But facilities, you mentioned the artificial surface you've got there. But effectively, and I know it was, I think it was last season or maybe the season before, the club can host back-to-back games because you've got, you know, two sets of clubhouses, changing rooms. It's the modern-day football club.
It's a multi-purpose stadium, that's for sure. Yeah. It's I think we've got four change rooms for referees because we've got two outside pitches. So I just found this out the other day. Mm-hmm. But the club have worked hard. I was there, it's my second time round, and I was there when they had their most success at the old ground. And the old ground was what it was. It was a ground where teams didn't like to come.
I remember going there.
Yeah, over Northwood.
Yeah.
I remember it well when you came over Northwood. You know, teams would turn up and not like it. And I felt when I came into this ground with this group of players that I had to sort of put a little bit that back into the club, that when teams turned up, we've got teams coming to our place that enjoy coming to us rather than play at home.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name names in terms of teams.
Yeah.
They look forward to come to Everly, and I want that to stop. I want them to leave been well beaten and turn around and not wanting to come to Everly because they're going to get a tough game. And that's what you try and instill in the group and in the football club itself as well, because they're still finding their feet in that new ground as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, yeah, last 16 of the FA Trophy is fantastic, but is the promotion from the league something really that the club would desire above trophy success?
Yeah, the club's well set to go into the league above. The club was well set for that. I've got the club won't mind me saying, I've got a pretty decent budget for the level we're in. I don't mind saying that. It's better than it was first time round when I was here. And the club are set to go up, you know, but it's very hard because one goes up and one goes up through the playoffs, and we've got, it's not a two horse race, it's not a one horse race in Maldon, that's for sure.
Good teams as well. Yeah.
It's a good league, you know. Yeah. It's the same as the league above. The two levels at this side of the Essex and Kent right now, they're good football clubs, you know. It's for me, the longer the trophy has gone on for the football club, the more confident the whole place has been. The trophy run has been a real lift for the football club. I can't say more than that. For me, it's been great, but I've been at higher levels and worked at higher levels in non-league. But for the football club to have that publicity around it, to be in the last 16 for Avely, and to have an opportunity, which is a fact, to possibly get into the last eight of the trophy, would be an unbelievable achievement for the football club. An unbelievable achievement, and it's just the club's grew through the trophy run, and we just want that to continue. But at the same time, it's helped the league. There's no doubt about it. Sometimes cup runs hinder league position. It hasn't for us, and it doesn't. And that's what we're looking at. And it's been brilliant. It's been a brilliant run.
Well, long may it continue, though, Keith. And we'll be watching your progress with interest.
Made a few bob as well.
Well, I think, is it prize money of over £20,000 already in the coffers? But I've seen it's helped you increase your crowds as well. That's the big thing, isn't it? Getting that snowball of the club growing.
Well, I'm just hoping that the game of the weekend, to try and get as many people in the ground as they can. I'm really hoping for a good crowd, and I think the players deserve it.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, we'll give it our all. And if my lads play to what they can play, there's going to be goals in the game, and that's what I want. I want the group to go and enjoy it, and for the crowd that come in through the door. Over the last few weeks or so, on the trophy run. Anybody who's been putting, one thing I've learned as well, being in management, anybody puts money through that gate deserves entertainment, and we've been that for months now, and I hope it continues on Saturday.
Yeah, and the other thing is you get to play it without any pressure, because you're playing a team two divisions above you.
And
you don't often get that in games where, listen, as much as you want to win it, and we understand that, but Chelmsford will be under pressure. It's a game that, it's a proper banana skin for them now without a manager. And you know, games, like, I'm not trying to preempt the game because you never can, but 20 minutes into the game, if Chelmsford, and I'm talking to Tim now, Rowley, because you know this, but 20 minutes into the game, if Chelmsford don't start right, all of a sudden everybody notices there's no manager. Because when things don't start right in games like that, that's where the manager's massive. And if you don't have one, it's a big hole. So get a good start to it, wee man, and you never know.
Yeah, we went to Hornchurch in the round before, and they're a good team in the league above. They haven't lost a game all season at home. They've won every game, the least amount of goals against. And 5 minutes into the game, Davey, I knew we would be all right.
Yeah.
You know, and you sometimes feel that as a manager when you're inside the game, 10, 15, 20 minutes into the game, you're like, we're going to be all right today. We're going to give this a good game, you know. Sometimes you feel that as a manager, and then as a manager, it's your job to put that across to the group, put that across to the players, because they can't sense it. You can, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right in that sense. You don't know who's going to be their vocal on Saturday, but for us, I always say to my lads, let's see what we get from the opposition 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes into the game, and then we might adjust to them, might. Yeah. But 9 times out of 10 this season, we haven't had to.
That's good. Yeah.
Well, best of luck at the weekend, and best of luck for the rest of the season as well, Keith. I'm sure Dave will be back in touch anyway. But
Good. Listen, brilliant to speak to you, wee man.
Not a problem, Davey. Looks like you haven't lost your accent as much as I haven't either.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
No, well, I've been put it down, you know, David. Yeah. We're a bit harder. We're a bit harder down there than you lot.
Absolutely right, mate. But I wish you well, mate. I hope the game goes good, and I'll see you soon. Don't worry about that.
Love to see you, David. Love to put a ticket on the door for our place.
Brilliant, mate.
So nobody knows more than the man opposite me how big the FA Vars final can be on non-league final day. This season, it's Sunday the 17th of May at Wembley, and our next guest hopes to be leading his side out. Also, the last 16 of the competition this weekend, it's either £2,250 on offer for the winnings and £750 in prize money for each of the losers. But it's the chance to get a step nearer Wembley that's the real carrot, as I'm sure manager at Longridge Town, Lee Ashcroft, will agree with. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show, Lee.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me on.
Well, it's good to have you on, Lee, because, I mean, how magical is the FA Vars for you and the club?
To be honest, it's only our second experience at this level, really. We went out early stages last season and, you know, we've been on a bit of a run in this. We've been lucky with draws, we've been at home. But the lads have played well to get to this far and, you know, we're really excited about Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, to get this far, you say it, you know, far is just a three-letter word. You know, you've won six games to get this far. Yeah, it's a competition already.
It's a competition over that, yeah.
I know, it feels like an age since the first round. But yeah, like I said, it's exciting times. And we're new to this, you know, the football club. We're new to this level. And like I said, we've been outstanding so far in the competition.
And to be fair, Lee, I this time last year, it was at this stage that I sort of realised that it's a big competition. We'd sort of kept our head down and get through the rounds, and I think we won 10 games to win the thing, but we'd
it's
sort
unbelievable,
of...
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, but I remember going to Earlham. We drew Earlham away in Manchester, and because we had to travel on a Friday and do the hotel bit... Then all of a sudden...
That's the main bit about it.
Went to bed about 2 in the morning.
That's what he was hoping for.
But there was a whole different feel about the squad that day and from that day on because of the journey and because it was a bit different. So you're getting to feel that.
Yeah, but obviously when the draw came about, I really wanted a way experience, you know, because obviously you guys travel on a Friday... You travel like proper professionals, you know, probably prefer, right, travel overnight, get the boys in bed for 9 and then have a couple of beers with the manager's staff. That's what we wanted to do, but unfortunately we got a home draw.
I know.
You've got all the grief that goes with a home draw.
It's true. I mean, we went up north 3 times, and I have to tell you, they were 3 of the best trips I've had in football.
Yeah.
But I just, so in many ways, getting on the train to go north for us,
yeah,
help the lads settle into what it was. How do you get your guys to appreciate that, you know, last 16, you know, listen, you're getting closer. You want to keep their eyes away from the big ground at Wembley, but you also want to make them aware that this doesn't come around too many times in your football career.
That's right. And like you said, you're touching at it now, but I must admit, at 8:45 last night when we got beat 3-1 away at Runcorn in that dressing room, I don't think we were thinking about the Vars. You know, we were poor last night. We've been poor in the last 3 games, really, 3 away games, leading up to the biggest game in probably the club's history. So we're at home, though, and like I said, we get decent crowds at home. We've got a little bit of cup fever around the place. Apparently, the Hebben, who are one of the better sides in the competition, they're bringing 3 full coaches. So, you know, it's going to be an unbelievable atmosphere. I think the weather should be good. And we're really looking forward to it. One of my good friends in non-league football, Steve Wilkes, you know, I speak to him regularly.
No, he's good. He had a similar
journey last year with Norfolk Victoria, you know, and unfortunately got beat in the semi-final.
Yeah, we beat them. We beat them in Pelmer Kicks. And
I know that.
And I get on ever so well with Steve. Give him a regard.
Yeah,
you know, difficult.
Yeah, he speaks highly of you.
Well, he's a professional man, and I tried to be professional with him, and we had a beer both times, and I felt ever so much for him. I wanted him to win it this year, to be fair, but listen, looking at your league form, you've lost the last 3. I think that's really understandable when you come into games like this. All of a sudden, people take their eyes off the league onto a big competition like this. So. I get that. I think I wouldn't be too much worried about that. Have you had Hebburn watched?
I've had a close friend of mine who when I was at Kendall, was the secretary there, went to watch him last week.
Yeah.
The reporter got wasn't good in my eyes. He said they're a very good side, et cetera. So, you know, you only can do what you can do on the day. Mm. You know, unfortunately, I've got a couple lads cup tied. But, like I said, we're good at home. You know, that's the main factor. We play a certain way at home, and we've been beaten once in a calendar year there. So, you know, if we all play 8 to 9 out of 10, I keep telling them, we'll be fine on the day.
And how will they deal with it? Because obviously your gate will increase tenfold Saturday, won't it? How will they deal with that, do you think?
As long as they don't, you know, the lads have probably never played in front of that many before, but as long as they don't bottle it on the day, and like I said, there's nothing to hide. We're just going to go out there and enjoy ourselves, probably like you guys. You probably tell your boys the same. Go and enjoy yourselves. Have no regrets, and come quarter to five, what will be, will be.
I got a little, we had a couple of video. I'll share this one with you. We had a video the night before the final, which was all made up of famous people and people in football and stuff like that. But Danny Cowley, who's now at Huddersfield, who's a friend of mine.
That's right,
He said one thing which stuck with me, and I used it before we went out at Wembley. He said, you can't fear something you've created.
That's right. And that's perfect.
There's a line. You can tell that's for nothing. You can have that one, but it's absolutely
that.
True.
I'll use that bag on 2 o'clock.
Yeah, you can't, and you just can't fear something that your own success. What's the point? You know, you've got to embrace it, really. You know, so I wish you well with it. To be fair, and good luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. The amount of texts you were probably similar and phone calls I've had this week leading up to the game has been incredible. Where we've gone from to where we are is like a fairy tale. But I don't want this to end, you know. I do believe in this group of players I've got, and as far as I can say, roll on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you've touched on it there, you know, where the club's come from. Really, the club was only formed in, 1996 from a merger of two local league sides. and since then, you know, to be in the last 16 of the FA Vars, we regularly talk about, you know, these tales that Hollywood would be proud of. But even your season this year, as a manager, the highs and lows. You know, I look, you know, winning the league. Well, you score 144 goals in the league,
and then
you lose your strike force effectively.
All pre-season, everyone tells me we need to do this, need to do that. We lost a lot of goals from our front three last season. The last season was a freak of a season. We were absolutely brilliant, and the lads were sublime. So we kept majority of them. I've added some youngsters, you know, who was with us a bit of the journey last season that have learnt off the more experienced ones. They've moved on, and these young kids have come in. I'm just, unfortunately, I lost one of them to Bolton Wanderers. And since he's gone, we've not been the same side, because that kid can play football. And, you know, you don't want to lose players like that. But you also get a tap on the back for doing what we've done for the kid. So, we're, like I said, we've done really, really well. Our aim this season is to stay in the division. But we're just on a bit of a roller coaster of a run. And like I said, we're looking forward to Saturday now.
Yeah. So as a manager, do you... You say, you know, you never want to stand in the way of a player to go off and things like that. But how does that affect your plans? Because you're planning for this, you know, assault on the Vars, having a decent season in the league, and then you lose a star player like that. They're not all, particularly not in January, they're not all then waiting, lining up to come in to replace.
People don't realise, Lee, is when people talk about star players, your top player, it's not as if you go down the shop and go like 20 cigarettes and a centre forward. You know, the these things come around. You know, they're pieces of diamonds, aren't they? They're rough diamonds and defend them. But there was no way you could put Bolton off until after the run was over. You couldn't have gone, listen, you can have him, but wait until we're out of the Vars.
I did try, believe you me, but the level we are, we just can't sign professionals, you know what I mean? And it's just, for me, it's a silly ruling, really, because you're stopping young lads from league clubs going to get the experience playing with adults.
Yeah, you're right.
The rules only just changed recently, I do believe, but it is what it is.
Yep.
Like I say, we have wished the lad on. He's got the best attitude I've ever worked with, but we'll move on. We're looking for the next star now. I have got a couple of youngsters that might fit the bill. and we'll work with them and make them better and, you know, enjoy the experience of playing with senior players.
Yeah, and you're in the Northwest Counties Premier now, which is it's a competitive division, is it? Yeah, I mean, you say your aim was to stay in the division, is it? Yeah, you've already reached that magic 50-point mark that the managers tend to hang their hat on.
That's right. A lot of managers would actually change where we are and the position we're in, you know. But you know, we're playing against sides that are established sides that have been in and around the division for a long time, and a lot of them have played a lot higher, you know. So, yeah, we've done really, really well. Whatever happens Saturday or whatever happens between now and the end of the season, and we've learnt from our experiences and we'll move on from it.
So you're doing really well on the field, but you say that, you know, the club's embryonic compared to others around there. What about off the field? Where are you placed? How far up the pyramid could you go?
Well, at the moment we're at the level we have to do one or two little bits to stay in the division we're in, which we're on with, and we don't have to do a lot. It's a brand new stadium that was only built probably 6 years ago, and we sold a plot of land to enable to do the floodlights, the pitch, the stand that needed to go up. So when I first took over, there's already anything there, and now you know you come and it's quite a nice. The views are unbelievable, and like I said. We're moving on, we're trying to progress, and we haven't got a lot of things to do, but it just costs money, and no one helps you in them fronts, do they?
Yeah, I believe it.
And also, it's important to point out that you've been part of that process of the building the club as well, because you're sixth season now?
When I first took over, there was 30 on average watching them. I think last year we averaged 190. Week in, week out. I think our highest crowd was just short of 600, which we're hoping to better on Saturday. So, yeah, you know, I'm loving every minute of it. You know, it's a local team to me. And we're making really good history at the place we're at.
Yeah, and also, you know, you came into the club when they're in the West Lancashire League and then taking them to this part of their history. So, I guess at some point you'll be expecting a bronze statue outside the ground.
I don't know about that. There'll be a good picture of me and my assistant Kieran somewhere along the line, I should imagine. But no, my assistant's great. You know, I used to manage him, and he's learning his trade. He's when he first became my assistant, he never spoke in the dressing room, and now I can't keep him quiet. So there's loads of stories, loads of good stories we've got going down there. But like I said, we're enjoying every minute of it.
Well, Lee, make sure you continue to enjoy it. Best of luck at the weekend.
Yeah, and good luck. We'll listen, I hope you get an away tie in London next round.
That's what we want. That's what we want. You know, that would be an exception if I could take these group of players on a Friday night somewhere. Yeah. So, thank you for all the good luck messages, and I hope to speak to you soon.
And tell Steve I send my regards, please.
I will do, mate.
Thanks.
Yeah, nice to speak to you. We might meet up down the road, you never know.
So, it's time to go to the sadder side of non-league, I guess. The struggle to survive for so many clubs up and down the country. This week, we heard of the plight of what many claim to be the fourth oldest football club in the world, Worksop Town, looking down the barrel of closure. But a lifeline has been offered if they can raise £30,000 to clear debt before the end of the month. There's a new chairman prepared to take the club forward as well. And tell us a little bit more. Welcome to the Non-League Football Show. Keith Illett, life president of Worksop Town.
Hello, and how are you?
I'm good, Keith. Now, how are you? There's this debt hanging over the club, but there's a lifeline there. Are you positive that the club can move forward now?
Yes, yeah. I mean, the lifeline is on offer. Like I said, if we can raise £30,000 by March the 1st, he'll come in and take over the club, and then, that's fine. So we're quite confident we can raise that money as well.
And the new could-be chairman, I believe he's also the lease owner of the club?
Yeah, he's got the lease. There's a 7-7-year lease on the ground, so it's a perfect fit for us, really. The owner of the ground being the owner of the club, it's a perfect fit.
But, I mean, how does that work? You're ground sharing, effectively, I think, at the ground at the moment still, with the Handsworth FC. So is he part of their club, or is he independent from the two?
No. He's independent. He's not with any club at the moment whatsoever. No, he's an independent buyer, if you like.
So effectively, it's a big win-win, because Worksop will then, own the ground and continue within the ground that you've been playing at for a number of years now.
Well, yeah, the chairman would own the ground, which is, I suppose you could say, it's like Worksop owning the ground, yeah. And, I mean, he is a football man as well as a businessman, so he has managed and played football. So it's a win-win for me, because I think an ideal fit for a football club is somebody with a financial brain and somebody with a football brain, and he's got both, so perfect.
It is the big balance and the big thing that almost every club up and down the country are probably looking for. So you certainly sound confident that you're going to be able to raise this money. Now, obviously, long-term listeners of the show, Keith, will probably recall that it was only 2 years since we featured the club amongst a fanfare of new owners with, I think, there was £300,000 of debt that was paid off before that, and there was a new business plan. What happened there?
Well, all I can say to you really at this moment in time is there's a few discrepancies with the finance, and I found that out, and obviously the only person I could go to was the owner of the ground, which was Pete Whitehead, and with his help, we found out what was happening, we've sorted it, and we've gone through and found out what debt we'd got, and like I say, if we can get rid of the £30,000 debt, Pete will come in. And then we're back to square one, in a sense.
Well, I'm always one for people that find solutions, Keith. That's what I always like. You know, we come up against problems time and time again, but to find a solution. Looking at the history of the club, obviously you were founding members of the Conference North, ended up taking voluntary relegation, I think, what was that, about 5.5 years ago when the former owner left. It had this historic debt in the past. There's more debt now. Is you've got potentially a new chairman coming in with more of a business head, but is there a future for the club? Is it sustainable on its own?
Well, there is. I mean, I can't go into too much detail, but I've sat down and had talks with Oakley, the new owner, and he's got a really good plan to move the club forward. You know, and he can make itself sustainable. Mm. That's his aim.
And
that's everybody's aim in football. If you've got a club that can be self-sustainable, then you're winning, aren't you?
Indeed, and I guess it helps that he's got the lease of the ground, so he's the effective owner there. What about your own history with the club, Keith? Tell us a bit more. How long have you been involved with Worksop Town?
Well, I was actually took in 1954 when I was five with my granddad and my dad. And so I've followed them ever since then. But in 1970, I got involved on the, you know, the football side. And, in August, I've been there 50 years.
Wow. And 50 great years or 50 years like the rest of us involved in non-league football? Lots of highs, lots of lows.
Yeah, lots of highs and lots of lows. But I've had good times. I've had bad times. I mean, I started off doing kit. I worked my way up to supporters club chairman. I was a director at football club. I was a chairman under Raymond Howard. And then I've also been made a life president now. So I've done it all, so it's been bar for managed team, which I'm not equipped for that. But it's a great club. And we've got I know everybody says it, but we have got the best fans in the world by far. They've had more downs than ups, and they always back the club.
So you've said that we're confident that you're going to be able to raise this money. What if you aren't able to raise this money? Where does the club go at the end of the month?
We're not even looking at that. I mean, we will raise the money one way or other. I mean, we've organised some do's in the club. We're having a night with some legend without what our football legends, and we're having discos. There's some people doing a slim for money. There's all sorts of things besides this, you know, the money raising with this donation. So I'm quite confident this club will raise the money.
And, you know, I suppose I've got to ask the question that some are going to be asking. We've seen it time and time again, someone owning the land of a football club and taking over. You're confident that this is this will be a genuine ownership and it wouldn't be the end of the football club a few months down the line?
No, it definitely won't. I mean, because what the thing is, when we say owner, the council owns the land. Pete Whitehead owns the lease. Mm. And he's got the lease for another 77 years. And I am 100% certain that Pete Whitehead will take this club probably further forward than anybody else has.
Well, if Keith...
If he comes in. Joey said, if he comes in.
Yeah, so to get him involved, you need to raise this $30,000 by the end of the month. If there are workshop fans that are listening or fans of non-league football that want to make sure that the club's safe, how can they get involved?
Well, by supporting us. Basically, by supporting us. But our fans have always supported us. I mean, the thing is, it's gone way beyond what I thought, this donation, because we've had a Premier League footballer put £1,000 in. We've had football players from non-league clubs putting money in. We've had two or three clubs putting money in. And we've had a guy ring up from Brisbane in Australia and put money in. A guy from Milton Keynes who said he will put £100 in every month until the end of the season. Not even a Works of Town fan at all. That you just can't believe what's happening, to be honest.
That's the magic of football, the magic of non-league, isn't it? So if people want to follow the story, want to keep in touch, I'm sure they can find out more information at your website, which is worksuptownfc.co.uk. Keith, thank you for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We wish you well with the campaign, and we'll be following and hoping that the club can continue for another century or so.
Well, that's it. There's one thing you can say about football. It is one big family, a football family. And when you're part of it, the other part of the family helps. And that's showing with us.
Well, hopefully you'll have your just rewards at the end of it, particularly for giving 50 years to a football club. Thanks for joining us, Keith.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Time to round off the show then and head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Show. It's editor at large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk non-league with someone that's nearly done as many years in non-league as me. And talking about... not quite, maybe, but...
I think I'm up there now. The times we've stood
waiting for managers to come out of dressing rooms when you know they really don't want to talk to you.
I went to a game on Tuesday night, and it was my feet were so cold that they sort of lost the feeling to where you can't quite walk properly. And I was like, I'm not waiting around for anyone. I'm just gonna go home. It's nice to have that option on a Tuesday night rather than on a Saturday where you're forced to stand there. But it was time to go home on Tuesday.
See, these are the parts of the journalism world that people don't see. The bits where a manager's been hammered 5-0 or something, and you've then got to get a quote out of him before you can go home.
They don't want to be doing it. You don't really want to be doing it. They take a while to come out. You're only thinking about your deadline and everything that comes with it. And it's this sort of dance we all go through. It's strange thing sometimes.
Talking of dances, there's always this managerial dance every week we discuss. And talking about people that have done a time in the game and certainly earned their corn. Jamie Cureton leaving Bishop Stortford this week. It was told he doesn't feature in their plans for next season either as a player or a coach. This is a man that scored at the top level in all nine levels, I think, of the English pyramid, over 1,000 competitive games. I'm not saying he's the greatest player out there still now, I don't know, but it just seems a strange way to be dealt with, and unsurprising, another club snapped him up, certainly as a player.
Yeah, it was sort of a bit of a strange one when it came out. It's something I think we sort of fully expected. That he'd be leaving there. I mean, he scored 16 goals for Stortford this season, which is you know, decent return. It's got him in that on that top scorers list in the league, and he's still definitely got it. He might be at the on the back nine of his career to say that. I think he's walking up the 18th, but at 44. But
I think I'm sat in the 19th hole already.
you've been in there for a couple of years, have you? But he 44. He's still going strong. Is Jamie Curtin, like you say, he's played at all the levels and scored and has been doing well for Stortford, but in this kind of player manager role, it's sort of never quite been able to fully nail down how permanent it is. It's kind of always seems to be in this kind of rolling thing slightly. But yeah, sort of slightly surprising that from the outside looking in on the face of it, you sort of think, well, what's going on there, I guess. But he's moved on. His club say that they couldn't give guarantees about next season, and they've obviously parted ways, and he's gone to Hornchurch, caught up with his new manager Mark Stimpson, and Stimmo was sort of saying disappointed for Jamie because he knows that he does want to be a manager and wants to look down that route, but from a selfish point of view, I think he's quite pleased that he's been able to get an extra bit of experience into his squad and what's going to be their promotion running, they're right up there, Hornchurch. So he's pleased that he's managed to get someone in like that. He already said that the other night. He could sort of see that what Jamie was saying and questions that he was being asked was already rubbing off on his younger players. So he hopes that they will sort of take quite a bit from that and hopefully prolong their careers. Because we're going at 44, isn't bad, but as I said, on Tuesday night I was at a game and I was watching Carlos Edwards play for Bury, and I think he's in his 40s as well. So maybe age is just a number.
It's just a number that seems a very big number when you try and get up in the morning when you're that age. But it says a lot about Mark Stimpson as well as a manager, because he knows that Jamie wants to be a manager and that takes a bit of confidence in your own managerial skills to sign someone else who wants to be a manager, because it could be a disruptive influence, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm sure Jamie won't be like that, but you do sort of, I've spoken to people over the years who sort of say sometimes when they get into their mid-30s, they feel that people just look at that number and think, can they do it? Have they got the legs? But also they think, is he thinking about having my job and is he, have I got to be looking over my shoulder as a manager? So it shows, and he's got some other experienced players there as well as Stimmo, and he's taken some faith, and I think he knows what he's going to get. He was saying, in fact, he can see that he's got this desire and enthusiasm to get in behind the back four, and at his age and where he's been and what he's done in his career is just speaks volumes. So that he still wants to do it. So
yeah,
I think he's pleased with his signing.
Yeah, good for non-league as well that he's still involved. And I mean, if that was a strange story, another strange story that I spotted is obviously the Kevin Christou that sacked at Tring Athletic of the Spartan League when they're second in the table. But it appears to be tales of an attempted hostile boardroom coup from former officials there. So, if you have a look at the various statements out there on Twitter to follow that one. But it does prove that non-league, it's the level of football that keeps giving, because you don't get this in the Premier League.
No, you certainly don't. And it's kind of very sort of strange story. And he's left when they're second in the league. And you think, well, what's, I think he's saying that he didn't have a phone call or anything like that. It's just however he found out. But and then the club has come out with what they've said. It's turned into a bit of a he said, one word against the other, and it's a shame to see, because clubs need to be, shows the importance of clubs being united and moving forward, and you don't want clubs overstretching themselves, whether it's a financial thing, and they're sort of going to put themselves under pressure if they go up. I guess that could be one thing that's happening, but it's yeah, there's always something going on in non-league.
There is always something going on in non-league as well. A bit further around the 25, it's all go at Brentwood too. I see their ground's been closed due to pitch issues, so the Isthmian League have stopped them from playing games there. But they've also change managers, Adam Flanagan coming in there as a, yeah, we even in this quiet week for non-league, there's plenty to report. And yeah, Kevin Horlock as well, coming back into first team management at Needham Market.
Yeah, Kevin Horlock is sort of, another sort of slight surprise of Richard Wilkins moving on at Needham. He's done lots there and been there a while, and the real sort of impact at the club. And Kevin Horlock's sort of been there anyway and is part of the academy, and he's had manager experience at Morden and Tiptree, and it's yeah, they've obviously gone down a different route. They're not going quite as well as they were maybe hoping that in the Southern Premier Central, but all change. And you think, I've spoken to players in the past who say how impressed they are when they've been under Kevin Horlock, and maybe a slight fresh approach there can get the Market Men on the up and ensure they survive in that division.
Yeah, and you know, we know his experience at non-league as a manager, but he's also got international. Was he assistant manager, I think, at the under 21 level for Northern Ireland? So there's a he had a great career as well as a player. So it's when people like that can bring added knowledge and expertise and just added stardust, really, to a football club, that it can really make the difference.
Yeah, well, if you speak to John Couch in our office, he's an Ipswich legend. So, because Couch is an Ipswich fan, so I sort of looked him up to see how long he was there. He's only there 2 years, but I think anyone who passes through Portman Road is a legend.
Well, it probably probably says more about Ipswich Town than anything else, really, doesn't it?
Well, I do tell him that, but he doesn't always take too kindly to us, and stop living off their past glories. But no, it's a famous club, and he's been at Manchester City as a player as well, and he came. That's what I sort of remember him mostly from. And as you say, he's been involved in the Northern Ireland international setup. He played for them, and he's also been involved in development football at Colchester United as well. So could be a good sort of opportunity for him to really make his mark now at Needham Market.
Yeah, so obviously we've also got the FA Vars FA Trophy this weekend, and it's the busy end of these competitions, because clubs can see the non-league finals day in their sights, really.
Yeah, we're still at that stage where you sort of speak to managers and players involved, and they still don't want to say that W, that Wembley word. They're not quite ready to.
And you and I are looking at our thinking car park about it passes yet, already.
We're already there. Yeah, the car park pass is hopefully still being handed out. So that's the that's always the crucial just deciding factor on my day of how well it goes is my car parking. But yes, they're there. They're getting closer. They get through this round, you're into the last eight, and then I think it's kind of impossible not to start really dreaming about and being open about it. And yeah, it could be there's some really interesting ties in both competitions on Saturday. You've got Hales Owen going to an Inform, FC Halifax, Avey and Chelmsford. Avey having an unbelievable run. That's another step forward. Club like Hales Owen, who are dreaming of keeping more making more history, and then Royston want to keep their run going as well. They've beaten Bournemouth and Chester to set up a date with Ebbsfleet, and Ebbsfleet obviously not going as well as they'd hope in the National League, and Royston will probably go down there full of confidence and they're looking to cause a bit of an upset. And then we look across into the Vars, and there's a big Norfolk versus Suffolk with Wroxham against Stowmarket, and then West Auckland are down at Plymouth Parkway, and hopefully they've set off by now, because that's a long old trip.
That's a very long trip. We need a proper FA VAR stato to tell us if that's one of the longest trips this year, definitely. But there can't be too many trips at this late stage of the competition that have been longer from Plymouth all the way up.
No, I remember another North East club going down that way a couple of years ago. I'm sure they had to get a ferry across to somewhere as well when they were down there. I can't remember, but yeah, Coach and ferry is planes, trains, automobiles and boats in non-league, isn't it?
Well, that's it. I think that's when you know you've made it, when you can tick all those boxes for the transport link. So a busy weekend of reports, no doubt. And, you know, hopefully the weather holds up. But what else can we expect to read in the paper this weekend, Matt?
Well, yeah, we've got we're all suddenly staring at my at the weather, my weather app after this news of this storm coming, and the BBC reliably informs me that it's not going to start until 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, which is good enough for me, because if the ball is kicked off, then people can file their reports. We hope so. It's going to be an interesting day, as long as all the football goes on, but paper will be out regardless. As I said, I've spoken to Mark Stimpson about Hornchurch. We've spoken to Josh Gowling at Hereford. He's caretaker there at the moment, and hoping he can really impress and get an opportunity. Colleague David Richardson spoken to Glenn Driver. He's gone to Leiston and revived their fortunes after starting the season at Braintree. We've got a piece on Stockton flying high at in the Northern League from our man in the northeast, Mark Ruthers. We've also got a really interesting piece with Bournemouth goalkeeper Nathan Ashmore, who's loving their football again after a sort of bit of a tricky spell.
Well, I have plenty to look forward to then, and a reason to get up on Sunday morning to go and buy the non-league paper. Thanks for joining us again, Matt, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Tim. Take care.
So that's it for this week. A thank you to all of our guests. A big thank you to everybody for listening. A big thank you to Dave Anderson as well. For
absolute pleasure.
And, well, and you
can... Yes, I want to see... who are we going to see tomorrow?
Ian Everett,
tomorrow.
For the gaffer tape. So, which hopefully you'll be able to hear next week. On usual podcast aggregations, along with this.
So we said we'd try and address the northern thing, you know, for the people from north of Watford Gap and Barrow, top of the conference, or the national, or whatever you want to call it. So he's agreed to do it, and we're grateful, aren't we, that he's... So I'm going to go and see him Friday.
Yeah, ahead of a big game in the trophy at Barnet. Certainly, lots hanging on that game. I know they're, however many points they're clear at the top. Yeah. But I know the trophy's a big thing for them as a club. So hopefully you can hear that on the gaffer tapes very soon. You can, of course, follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non League Show. Dave Anderson. He's at Dave Anderson 78. Caroline Barker, I think she's back on home turf.
With the round ball instead of that egg-shaped ball out in America.
I think she's putting her CV together for the Chelmsford City job. So she's at Caroline Barker, myself at Tim Fuel. Thank you once again and goodbye.
J-I-B-B-A-J-A-B-B-A.